Listen to more news from WBEZ anytime on the WBEZ app. Start each day informed. Tap and listen live or on demand. Available on iOS and Android.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is The Rundown. So I have relocated 3 times in the last 3 years. You know, life just be happening like that sometimes. And every time I do, I try my best to avoid buying new stuff for my place. I'll go hit up Facebook Marketplace or Nextdoor or Craigslist or just plain old thrift shopping. All this makes sense for housewares, furniture, clothes, accessories, etc. But what about more specific stuff like art supplies? I used to do a lot of visual art, and I know there are all kinds of supplies that I know I would never find at the thrift store. If you're also an artist and you want to consume more sustainably, what are your options? Well, let me put you up on the Waste Shed.
So I like to think of it as a depot for arts, crafts, and teacher supplies.
So like Home Depot,
yeah,
but like home, arts, crafts, and teacher
yeah,
supplies.
Yeah, okay. Exactly.
This is Ulyssa Blakely. They're the director of programs and development at the Waste Shed. They have 2 locations, one in Evanston and one near Humboldt Park in Chicago. And that's where they take donations of used art supplies and other reusable materials. And then they sell them at a more affordable rate than your typical art supply shop.
And then there's these other sort of benefits that come with the Waste Shed, one of them being the community aspect. Like, everyone uses these 2 places as like a place to gather. And then it's also sort of dipping our toes into environmental sustainability because we are diverting these materials from ending up in the landfill.
The Waste Shed says they have diverted over 100 tons of stuff from landfills since they opened 10 years ago. And they've sent secondhand supplies to more than 350 schools.
If you give people the opportunity to not waste things, they get very excited.
This is the founder of the Waste Shed, Eleanor Ray. She's giving garbage archaeologist.
In the last, 100 years or so, there's been a big focus on training people to waste materials that have lots of utility left in them.
Interesting.
But if you actually create structures to like reclaim materials and divert them in some other direction, people actually really love that.
I talked to both Eleanor and Ulyssa about an event they have coming up on April 13th, a quote-unquote trash fashion show called Discard Disco. But we also talk about the history of waste and why throwing things away is kind of a recent development in the evolution of humans. Eleanor told me that actually reusing things is one of the most intuitive things we used to do as humans.
All of human material history is about reusing and repurposing stuff, until there wasn't even really a word for like trash can or like organized trash collection until, maybe 200 years ago.
Yeah.
Almost everything was recycled historically up until very recently, or reused or just kind of worn to death. And I think, interestingly, like archaeology is almost all about what we throw away, because what we discard basically tells you everything you need to know about a civilization.
Yeah.
So, and I think that's kind of one of the interesting components of the Waste Shed, is like really sort of critically examining what we throw away and why. And also what we consider unimportant is such a register of what we consider important as a society.
When you said, the things in our trash cans tell us so much about what we value and who we are, it made me think of like every private investigator character I've seen.
Yeah.
They always go through the person's trash to see like what's going on and kind of get a sense of who it is they're following around. I wonder if you can say more about what we discard and what that tells us about what we value.
I mean, and I think that's a really interesting part of just like the day-to-day work that we do, because we're kind of tasked with a certain subset of the city's excess or unwanted materials.
Yeah.
And you just get all these little glimpses into people's lives of, the stuff that they hold on to. And so we're kind of in this position of like interpreting all of, people's things and just being like, hey, what is this? which is like a question we ask like many times a day. I've been doing this for, you know, getting on for like 14 years between different organizations. Yeah. And I still, all the time, I'm just like, what is this? Well, it could be like part of a steaming machine for like a, you know, some process that nobody's done in a while. Or it's like, this is part of a letterpress. And mm-hmm. this is part of a, you know, I think this came off of this thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, you get sort of industrial and craft history, too, as well as sort of, you know, people's personal creative processes and their, you know, small businesses that went under and all of the above.
When you first got to Chicago, Eleanor, before this even existed, what were you seeing as far as artists accessing affordable materials that they needed?
I moved here from Portland, Oregon in 2012, and I'd been heavily involved with scrap. But yeah, moved to Chicago, and there was, you know, this just huge art scene and all these schools and all these students and teachers and companies throwing out lots of cool stuff and like very little infrastructure for reclaiming any of these things or kind of closing the loop on the obvious demand that there was for those materials. Sort of the vision that I had was something that was very, very accessible, very welcoming, very like problem-solving component to it. Mm-hmm. Because that's the part that I really love is just being like, hey, you've got an art problem. How can we solve your art problem?
Yes, utility. People love that.
Exactly. Yeah, let's like talk through it and be like, do you actually need this like expensive thing that it says that you need? Or can you like find something in your house that will do the thing for you? So that sort of became an overpowering obsession in my life. I'll just say it. It was like a religious conversion. It really took hold of me in this very intense way. And I think also just that combined with like climate grief and just really feeling the reality of like what the rising generations are up against and how ill-equipped I think a lot of the systems that are in place right now are making them to face those realities or to like survive, you know, or just to thrive in those realities, you know, because I think it is possible. People have lived under some wild conditions in this world, and I think they will continue to do so. But I feel like so much of the way that contemporary education and a lot of conventional culture is set up is prioritizing a lot of unhelpful things. So yeah, it just, you know, it was, I was just like, all right, this is what I'm doing.
And here we are. How many years later?
Are. 10.
10 years later.
Yeah, as of this fall will be our 10th anniversary. Wow. So yeah.
Wow. Milestone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ulyssa, we emailed about some of the kind of things that you like to talk about when it comes to the Wayshed, and a couple of terms came up, leisure activism. Mm-hmm. When it comes to space at the Wayshed, can you talk about that?
Yeah. A lot. I feel like this is a polarizing, it could be a polarizing term or phrase, because when you think activism, you think like out in the streets, like go and do and shout, but that's not everyone's lane. Everyone can be in the streets. Not everyone wants to be in the streets. Not everyone has, you know, or wants to have like political connections or go to the alderman or do this or do that.
Yeah.
But you can still participate by living sustainably. You know, that's a very large term, but by doing the things you love and doing it in a way that is going to benefit the world, or even just your community or your city. Mm-hmm. It still sits with me in a way that I'm like, oof, I don't know how other people will feel about this, but for the people that don't have the ability or whatever, there's still things you can do to participate.
Yeah. Eleanor, I read in another interview that you've done that you think a lot about how material culture has changed in the last couple centuries, how trash was invented and sold to people. And I would really love to hear you talk more about that.
We just create like an incredible amount of garbage, mm-hmm. like on an individual yeah. level and particularly on like a collective level. Construction, demolition, mm-hmm. Various industrial processes. You know, we're really throwing away the future with both hands, as fast as we can. Mm-hmm. And like there's no end in sight for any of that as far as like the structures that we have in place right now.
Yeah.
So I think just making more infrastructure for circularity mm-hmm. and for like reclaiming materials and reusing kind of anything that you can think of on us, like creating more systems for that so that it actually can be done on a systems level. A reaction that people often have when they sort of begin to think about this is to become like hyper-focused on their own trash that they're making and yeah, their own yes. Their own personal contribution for yeah. that, which like is, it's a bit disordered, I think, like because people can become so fixated on their own personal, whether they, you know, use a plastic fork.
Yeah, we
or
all
whatever.
Have the anal retentive friend who
yeah.
exactly.
carries around their plastic cup until they get home.
And they're right.
Situation.
But,
yeah.
But like we need to have structures so that that can actually be like not just one, you know, it's the burden is not just on the individual
right.
to do everything right and to be like the most pure, you know,
like,
systemic problem. You know,
yes.
it's a lot like, you know, it's like public health. You can, if you try and put all of the burden for public health on the individual and on the individual's decisions, that's not public health. It
no.
doesn't work.
Right.
You know, you have to actually have it be, it has to be a systems response to a systems problem.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to talk about Discard Disco.
Okay.
Great.
What inspired a fashion show?
Well, so I was actually part of a trash fashion show in Oregon, I want to say 14 years ago or something. And it was amazing. It was so fun. People just brought an incredible amount of sort of ingenuity and goofiness to the project. And like a fashion show is extremely, has a very, very broad appeal. Like people just love it.
Yeah,
and
they do. Yeah.
We just have a really huge contingent of sewists and fashion people
okay.
and cosplay people and theater costume people
uh-huh.
and Renaissance fair historical reenactor people and drag folks. And it's just a really amazing confluence of a bunch of different creative communities. And I think a lot of people have been taking clothing production into their own hands in different, you know, in lots of different ways. And it's been a really fun opportunity to kind of like bring those folks together. So I think people really love this opportunity to like really get together and sort of work separately, but together like towards like a common goal
mm-hmm.
of, you know, putting this fashion extravaganza together.
Yeah. Ulyssa, tell me about it. Introduce me to Discard Disco.
It's at a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful venue, Chicago Athletic Association. We're going to have like raffles. We'll have craft stations. We'll have a VIP sort of area, cash bar, and obviously the runway show, which everyone is really, really excited for and wanting to see the pieces. But yeah, it's just like a wonderfully extravagant night. Like it's something that I think, at least for the first time I attended last year, like thinking of the waste shed and how sort of DIY it is,
mm-hmm.
And then going to our annual fundraiser, it just changed my perspective on like what trash can be and
mm-hmm.
Or what discarded materials can be, and also just being able to highlight all of these people that come from, you know, different backgrounds and like are kind of grungy and a little bit like punk and all this stuff. And we're in this beautiful space. It just feels like a party. It feels like a celebration. It feels like this is, I don't know. It just gives me this like hope. It
yes.
gives me hope. And it gives me like, it's like, yeah, we deserve these flowers. Like we deserve to have a beautiful space and like celebrate one another and like be creative and have a good night. Yeah.
Because we're all just a bit too serious, don't you
yeah,
think?
Yeah, for sure.
we live, you know, in this very capitalist structure. And a goal, it seems like, could be to, like, get us to just stop buying and selling new things all the time. Eleanor, I wonder if you dream about what that could look like, and what are some components of that dream, if you do?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's it works on a number of different levels. I mean, there's a sort of, like, mentality shift of just being like, you know, think secondhand first, like, always look for a reuse-based solution. There's a lot of different ways that reuse operates in the city, and I think a lot of us are kind of working in silos. You know, there's, like, the books people. There's the, like, you know, furniture and materials people.
There's the fashion people. There's the...
Yeah. Okay. There's the, you know, you get your secondhand dogs from the secondhand dog place. you know, I feel like people don't talk enough about how, like, shelters are a reuse organization.
For sure. Yeah.
It can work on so many different levels and in so many different ways. I have just found that, like, the waste stream provides. Like, you'll sort of think of something and you'll be like, wow, I could really use this thing. And then in, you know, a couple of days or a week or maybe a few weeks, it'll just turn up.
Yeah.
And you'll be like, hey, there's that thing that I wanted. And here it is. It's like it's like garbage manifestation.
Wow.
It's really incredible. It works. Yeah. It works so much of the time.
Mm-hmm.
It feels very cosmic when it happens.
Okay, so you're saying I need to come and kick it at the waste shed and manifest basically everything I need.
I think so. I agree.
Eleanor Ray is the founder and executive director of The Waste Shed. Eleanor, thank you.
Thank you.
And Ulyssa Blakely is director of programs and development at The Waste Shed. Ulyssa, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Discard Disco is at the Chicago Athletic Association on April 13th. You can learn more at the link in the show notes. And that's it for today. Thank you to Justin Bull and Sarah Stark for producing The Rundown and to Ariel Van Klee for editing the show. Brendan Banaszak is our executive producer. Haley Blomquist was the engineer for this episode. Our theme music is by Louis Weeks. The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago and is part of the NPR network. I'm Erin Allen. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you later.